Good evening and or good morning, everybody. Welcome back to
Being in the Bunker
Hoops HD. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood.
Out of the bunker.
From the puppet bunker next to me here, the puppet David Griggs, locked in, locked away. Everybody's safe and sound. You can let your children out.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's brought any food by Chad. No one's letting me out. I don't think anyone's coming.
Well, you're a puppet. You don't eat, do you?
I drink.
Well, we're trying to help you out there. This is our championship week video notebook. We are in day or night number 13, a baker's dozens of worth of nights here. We've got to be at the end of championship week by now, aren't we?
No, we still got a few more days. They made it longer this year because of COVID, I guess. I mean, we started late to the season, 2 weeks later than normal, but championship week is going more than 2 weeks.
It's going on forever here. We do news and notes, then we review all the conference tournament games we're played. We preview any upcoming games. We update our survival board. We do our hot seat. We do a few other things like that. And David, let's start with some news or notes. And one piece of news that I think we'd heard a little bit of, but it was made official today, is that as long as a team has five players healthy in the NCAA tournament, they will be permitted to compete.
Yes. Now, I mean, what if they have no coaches? What if it's just the five players?
Well, they can coach themselves.
I guess so.
I'm not that certain. And David, anything else happened in the world of news or notes while I'm trying to get the screen share ready to go here? So just fill time for a minute.
Well,
I've been having massive computer problems today. Technology has not been my friend.
Issues. Teams are going to be arriving in Indianapolis as early as Saturday. Some of the automatic qualifiers getting there between Saturday and Sunday to get them in the bubble. As you know, it's 7 days of testing. Everybody needs to have seven consecutive negative tests before they can enter. The daily testing will continue once they do enter. That, I guess, is to give them enough time to where if you're a singular bid league, which is, I think, most of the leagues, if not all of them, that are getting there early are, they can get the contingency team ready to go if necessary. How are we doing on the screen share there, Judd?
I think we're good enough to pull off a show here. How about that?
Okay, how about that? All right, yeah.
We're going to be low quality today as opposed to our normal low quality.
Yeah,
even lower than local. Let's get to the games that were played today. Let's do that. And let's start. There was one conference that was in the semifinal round today. So why don't we start there? We'll start things off. It should be popping up the screen right now in the Patriot League.
Eventually. In the Patriot League, yes.
Did we have the Patriot League on the screen?
Yeah, it's on the screen.
Okay, wonderful. We're going to cross our fingers that stays there. Began with Loyola doing it again, David. They knocked off Navy. Now they knocked off Army. They're on as the number 9 seed. They also got a bye when Holy Cross had to withdraw from the tournament.
Wreaking havoc on national defense this week. Loyola, who only won 4 regular season games, if I'm not mistaken. I was not expecting them to win their opening round game, which they didn't. They advanced by default due to COVID protocol. Then they beat Navy, who I thought was hands down the best team in the league, and kind of led that whole game. It was, where has this been? Why? How can a team that only won 4 games be one win away from the NCAA tournament? And has there ever been a team? I remember Prairie View got in with an 11-20 record.
There are 3 teams that have made the NCAA tournament with 11 wins. Those are the least amount of wins to ever make the NCAA tournament. This Loyola team would shatter that record if they win on Sunday with only 7 wins. Now, I will say here, they played a lot smaller of a schedule, and their overall winning percentage will not be the worst ever. They'll be 5th or 6th worst ever with their winning percentage. But they took down the Navy. They took down the Army. David, all that's left is a tube of toothpaste. They got to be able to handle that.
Yeah, I was really impressed with Colgate. I've been kind of dismissive of Colgate. They've only played a couple teams, and I think people were looking at the net and sort of overreacting, when in reality it was – with the way the net is adjusted, they remove the games that you have played against them. So if a team is 11-3, and they and you beat them to knock them down to 11-4, it still gets tabulated into the net as them being an 11-3. So these teams that Colgate was playing, it was just shooting the net through the roof.
It's because they until today they'd only played three teams all season. The net did not even count as them. Don't look at their net and put them up there really high. On the other hand,
they look good today.
We don't really know how good of a team it really is because they've played now four teams all season and they've beaten them all multiple times, except for Bucknell, who they only played once, but they beat them even.
Badly today.
And I expect them to pound Loyola on Sunday, but
I agree. And it'll be interesting. They'll be playing just their fifth team of the season in the round of 64 if they get by Loyola.
And when we preview this game Saturday night, we could maybe look into this question of you know, where would Colgate end up on the seed list? Because it's a real interesting question. You know, if you drop them really low because they didn't play anybody, are you punishing somebody because they really are a good team? Or
it's hard to evaluate.
Or should they be a 12 seed? Should they be a 15 seed? I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know either. Tytel, our expert, has been keeping them around the 13 line, which
that might be the safe place to put them because you know you don't want to punish a 2 seed with a 15 seed Colgate team that really is a 12 or 11 seed quality team.
Yeah.
Okay. Loyola. By the way, they had a big lead over Army. The Army made a real good comeback to try to get back in that game. Just couldn't quite make it all the way back in. But let's keep things going here and move over to the ACC. It was day two. The ACC, four games, beginning with Syracuse, what we thought was a play out game. The loser was definitely out, and NC State is definitely out of the NCAA tournament, I think, at this point.
Very much so. Syracuse, why don't they ever go away? if Stalica was here, he would tell you what they're like, but I won't do it.
I don't think they're in yet.
Yes, they are.
But they're on the borderline now.
They do this just to annoy me.
But Virginia tomorrow, they beat them. I think they're now almost box status.
I think Syracuse is going to the Final Four again just to annoy me.
Think Syracuse beats Virginia tomorrow?
Yes, just to annoy me. I don't. I think Virginia will win. But if Syracuse were to win by 22, it would only be mildly preposterous compared to some of the things we've seen Syracuse do in postseason tournaments.
Clemson and Miami. Miami only 7 players for this game. We said you only need 5 for the NCAA tournament. Miami just proved you could win a game with 7, beating a Clemson team that I told you last night, this Clemson team, I did not trust them. They had some chances. They really had some chances late. Miami tried to
And if you look at their profile, one of the things, Clemson has a lot of good stuff on it, but it isn't the most consistent profile you've ever seen. They've struggled mightily away from home, particularly in true road games. They've lost games that you would expect them to win or struggled to win games you wouldn't expect them to struggle in at times. A little bit inconsistent and really, not to take anything away from Miami, but a really, really disappointing and unimpressive showing from a Clemson team who really should be better than that.
Yeah, they forced a turnover late. Yeah. That couldn't score. Then there was a blown call on what should have been an out-of-bounds call against Clemson. So they got another chance. They couldn't score. They couldn't score. They couldn't score. Miami wins. Does Miami have a shot against Tech tomorrow?
I don't want to. It's hard to say that they do when they're only down 7, when they're down the 7 players. But I mean, as good as they look today, maybe. I kind of like this Georgia Tech team, though. It wouldn't shock me to see them actually get to to Saturday.
The two late games, Duke had a big lead on Louisville. Every time Louisville tried to make a run, Duke had a response, and North Carolina thoroughly destroyed Notre Dame. Okay. The game that, David, you picked Notre Dame to win that one. Setting up Florida State, Duke, and Vatek Notre Dame tomorrow. What about those two games? Or do you want to talk Louisville a little bit here too?
Well, yeah, I mean, I didn't pick Notre Dame. I didn't realize it was a basketball game.
Okay.
I thought they were playing football. But Louisville... Are you starting to come around to my side of the fence here?
I think they're in the NCAA tournament. They I think they avoid the first four, but they're going to be like the first team to avoid the first four, like an 11
I think,
seed, 11
I think
line
they're,
team.
yeah, I think they're in it too, simply because the experts in the prognosticators, the committee guessing experts are saying they're in, and they're usually right. That doesn't mean I have to like the selection. That doesn't mean I'm going to argue for them when we do our mock committee. I don't think they're very good. I do agree that they're in, and I think they'll be going home very soon.
As far as tomorrow's games, though, Florida State, Duke is still not there, still on the board for an at-large bid. They lose this, I think they're done. I think they can win it. They're playing great basketball right now.
They really are. I mean, they, not that Boston College is anything special, but they finally looked like, you know, you would expect a Duke team to look like against them. And then, Louisville, it was a sloppy, very poor shooting performance today, but still a decisive win for a Duke team against the Louisville team that should have come in with a big sense of urgency. I don't think they got it in them to beat the Noles. I just think Florida State is so good. But, you know, who knows the way they looked at the game that I've got circled, Chad, is this VaTech North Carolina game.
Should be a great game. Yeah.
Yeah. I like VaTech probably a little more than most people. In North Carolina, while unspectacular for most of the year, been playing pretty good in the latter part of the season. And if they win tomorrow, they could start to climb, not only get inside the bubble, but start to climb the seed list a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's going to be the best game of these four, but it might end up being a blowout again, like North Carolina, Notre Dame, West State, so far we know. But let's keep going because we got a lot to get to tonight. We got to go a little quicker here if we're going to get through it all in any decent amount of time. Big East tournament. It was opening round day with Georgetown rolling Marquette. That was an 8-9, 8 seed beat the 9 seed. The other two games were upsets with Butler coming back to from down big early to maybe probably end Xavier's chances at an NCAA bid, and DePaul shocking Providence.
Yeah, real disappointing season really by Providence. I think we were all expecting a lot more out of them than that. And then, you know, what a way to cap off the disappointing season. Xavier, every time you start to want to come around the Xavier, you know, they had the big win against Creighton. I hope they'd enjoyed it because it was their last one.
Yeah, I think they're done other than maybe an NIT appearance.
Yeah, other than maybe.
But quarterfinals tomorrow, Villanova, Georgetown. I expect even a shorthanded Villanova team to be able to win this one. Creighton, Butler, I expect Creighton to roll. UConn, DePaul, I expect UConn to roll. The game to circle is at St. John's Seton Hall, which may be similar to the Syracuse NC State game we had today. The loser is probably out. The winner, a decent chance, not a lot yet, but a decent chance to get in. Real good chance if they win Friday as well.
Yeah, and this is such a big game, Chad, because like you said, it could be a play-out game, but it could be for the winner. They're going up against a Villanova team that's paper strong, but perhaps court weak with all the injuries. So the winner, while the winner of this game could be out, the loser of this game could be out, the winner could be going to the Big East championship game.
It could be. The winner of this game could win the Big East tournament here.
Yeah.
I think that's the only game to really circle in this conference tomorrow, right? Unless I want to look at the Villanova Georgetown game just to see how Villanova looks. And if Villanova loses it, then they've got some real problems heading to the NCAA tournament.
Right.
Big 12, it was first round day today. K-State, surprisingly to me, actually blew out TCU. And Oklahoma, while they led the entire way, did not blow out Iowa State as we expected. And this was an Iowa State team that was one of the worst.
Yeah.
Well, I think is the worst power conference team in D1, but they played their best game of the season and almost took down the Sooners.
Yeah, Oklahoma not looking as impressive in these last week or two as they had for most of the season. And, you know, while getting the win today, certainly impressive is not the word I'd use to describe it. Don't exactly have a whole lot of confidence going into tomorrow's game against Kansas. Kansas a little shorthanded themselves, though.
Now, I think Kansas now, I don't have faith in Oklahoma. I think Kansas is going to win that game. I don't even know that that's going to be too close of a game. Obviously, Baylor's going to destroy K-State tomorrow. We don't have to talk about that.
Yeah, we're not going to talk
about
that.
But look about these other two games. West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Texas, Texas Tech.
Great games.
What a tournament this is.
Yeah, it is. And this is mainly a showcase. Just about everybody that's left minus K-State is safely in the field. playing for seeding, playing for protected seeds. Baylor could miss the bust of the Kansas State game. They're still going to be on the one line. But I do think that
Baylor could be playing for number one overall.
Yeah, they are.
They win this tournament. I think there's an argument that they have a better profile than Gonzaga. But go ahead.
But anyway, like as a showcase, this is just going to be a tremendous event the rest of the way.
Absolutely. I think this is going to be a real fun day. There's great games tomorrow.
Yeah.
It was opening round day in the Pac-12 where we saw Arizona State with Alonzo Verge with a big shot late to give them the win over Washington State. Then Jalen Hood with a steal. He was able to run around everybody and run out the clock.
Yeah.
We saw Utah have a huge lead on Washington, and Washington come storming back and almost catch them. And then we saw Stanford that's it for a Stanford team that we had in the field most of the season.
Yeah, and they trailed for most of the game, but it was close, and then they tied it. And then by the end of the game, it was not tied anymore.
18-point blowout it ends up being. Wow.
Yeah, who dropped out of this? I know we covered that.
Arizona.
That's right. Yeah, Arizona not eligible for it. So sets up some what I thought was going to be a very important bubblicious Colorado-Stanford game, at least for Stanford, not happening tomorrow. What excites you about tomorrow,
Chad? Well, I'll tell you. I mean, Arizona State still has talent. I think they're an interesting team against Oregon, but Oregon is so good, especially March. USC, I don't think they have much trouble with Utah. Colorado, I think, is going to roll over Cal. UCLA-Oregon State game is the game I'm circling. UCLA, I think, is in, but I'm not calling them 100% a lock yet. If they lose this game, they lose it badly. They might be a little bit to sweat about on Selection Sunday. Oregon State has been playing some pretty good basketball recently.
Yeah, they have been. Yeah, so
that's the game I'm circling tomorrow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's keep things rolling over to the Big Ten Conference, if I can find it here in my notes. There we go. The Big Ten Conference. It was opening round day. We saw Northwestern down 14 come all the way back to actually tie it, and then Minnesota puts it away. And Nebraska built up a big lead, and Penn State comes back and overtakes them and wins it.
Yeah. So this Penn State team, when their best is pretty good, but they normally don't play up to it. It wouldn't shock me if they beat Wisconsin, but I'm not going to predict that. I think that's going to be a pretty good game. But by pre-quarterfinal standards, Chad, we got a really good day tomorrow. This Maryland-Michigan State game, I think, is going to be good. Many probably doesn't have what it takes to beat Ohio State, although they did beat them earlier in the year, I think.
Minnesota and Penn State were both teams that at times during the season were talked about as NCAA tournament teams. Minnesota just a couple of weeks ago, even. So you're right. We have eight teams tomorrow before we even get to the quarterfinals that either are in the field or were in contention for the field. Indiana, same boat here. Until a recent slide, they were right there as a tournament team.
Right. Archie Miller probably is, unless he wins the conference tournament or gets in, this might be it for him at Indiana. The natives are getting restless there. I think Rutgers rolls in that one and lands in the top half of the bracket.
I hope so too, because being a Rutgers fan, but I think this Maryland-Michigan State game is the best game, but I think one of the other three teams is going to pull the upset. I don't know, Minnesota, Indiana, Penn State. I think one of them advances. I don't know which one, because they're all very similar in talent, honestly.
Yeah.
I just see something crazy happening in one of those three games. I think Michigan State is going to beat Maryland too, though.
Yeah.
SEC, excitement of the Vanderbilt Texas A&M first round game today. It was the game of It was close for a while. Vanderbilt wins.
Yeah. Nothing really to get excited about there. They advance to play Florida tomorrow.
Any shot against Florida?
No. Okay. Mizzou, Georgia, Missouri kind of in a bit of a tailspin. I still don't think they're going to have any trouble with Georgia. This is just very much unlike the Big Ten. I mean, you don't want to ever underestimate a knockout game as far as its importance in entertainment. But I think what we're really doing tomorrow is getting through to the quarterfinals.
Well, Ole Miss, very important game. They are still still on the bubble. They cannot lose tomorrow. I think that would knock them out. So that's
I agree with that. Wholeheartedly.
Very important game against Angry Frank's South Carolina team there. Kentucky, Mississippi State. I'm interested to see how this Kentucky team plays. If they can win, they can win big. They're a team that I think can give – they have enough talent to give Alabama a battle the next round. But if they end up playing a tough game that tires them out, it's going to be a lot worse than if they win big and they can rest guys. So how easily they win is important there. And they may not win the game at all. They may not win it at all.
Yeah. I mean, they just, again, their results have not matched their talent. Rarely have they looked good.
It was opening round day as well in the Mountain West, which began with Wyoming put up 111 points against San Jose State.
Yeah, Wyoming had 57 points in less than 18 minutes. It was ridiculous.
Vegas, this game is being played on their home floor. They took care of Air Force fairly easily. And Fresno State, New Mexico, surprisingly stayed in that game for about 30 to 35 minutes before Fresno State finally finally put it away real late. But all three better seeded teams win. So, David, we set up three quarterfinals here that are I don't know. I think we got some interesting games. San Diego State, should take care of Wyoming, but Fresno State has had some life recently. I think they could give Colorado State trouble. Vegas, it is their home floor against Utah State. And Boise State, Nevada should be a thriller.
You know, Boise State, Nevada, I mean, Nevada is a dark horse to maybe win this. It's not on their home court. It's in Vegas, but there's that. And Boise State is in a bit of a tailspin. They went from being very, very safely into kind of straddling the first four. So kind of a must-win game for both of those teams. One which is hot but way outside the bubble in Nevada, and another right on the bubble in a bit of a tailspin. That's the storyline for that game. I agree. Like, while Wyoming really put up some points today, I don't think they got what it takes to beat San Diego State. But Fresno State, Colorado State, another team that can let you down when you depend on them. They better not overlook this Fresno State.
Colorado State is not a lock by any means yet. No. They could, this could cost them a bid. And Utah State absolutely needs this game here. I believe so. Actually, count as a road win too, because it is on Vegas.
It will. Yeah.
So I'm excited about this day. I think it's going to be a fun day tomorrow in the Mountain West, actually.
Yeah.
And you get to watch it on TV here, CBS Sports Network tomorrow.
Yeah. All day.
Let's keep things rolling and go over to the Metro Atlantic, where it was day one of the quarterfinals. And this was a hell of a day here in the Metro Atlantic. Let's start with Rick Pitino's Iona squad here. Now, Metro Atlantic, the way they did their seeding for the conference tournament, it was wins, not overall record, not winning percentage, but number of wins in conference. Because Iona had so many shutdowns, despite the fact by winning percentage, they would have been the second best team in the conference. They ended up as the number 9 seed in this tournament. And they looked like the second best team in the conference today, didn't they?
or maybe the first best today. So Iona, a bizarre decision. I don't know who decides these things, but I bet Siena wasn't too happy about it. Iona knocking them out and advancing, and Fairfield Monmouth.
One more thing here, David. This was the 11th time since Iona and Siena have both been in the Metro Atlantic that they met in the Metro Atlantic tournament. Iona is now 11-0 against Siena.
Oh, my God. That's remarkable.
Yeah. Siena has never beaten them in MAC tournament play. The streak continues. Yeah. And so, of course, that easily made Monmouth the favorite to win this conference tournament until they ran into the buzzsaw that is the Fairfield Stags.
Yeah. One of the more surprising results of the day.
This would have been an upset of the week, of the year.
Yeah, Fairfield not just winning, but boat racing Monmouth, and that's all she wrote.
This is not a Fairfield team that plays that up-tempo type of style. They played Monmouth's game and beat Monmouth at their game, which made no sense to me.
Right.
But there they are. Fairfield is on. They will play the winner of St. Peter's and Ryder. And in fact, only Fairfield Manhattan, the first round, is the only game so far that has not been an upset by seeds. I mean, we are getting, we could end up with Iona and Ryder in the championship game at this rate. David, how about these two games here tomorrow? St. Peter's, Ryder, Marist, Niagara, the other two quarterfinals.
Marist and Niagara kind of evenly matched. I like the St. Peter's team, and I don't like this Ryder team.
St. Peter's, I think by seeding, is the favorite. I think it's close call now, actually, between St. Peter's or Iona as the new favorite to win
the conference tournament. Yeah.
Iona might end up winning it. And it's not, when you look at their overall metrics, their record, they have some of the top metrics in the conference. They're not really, they're the best nine seed maybe in conference tournament history.
So. Yeah, they might be. Yeah.
That was the Metro Atlantic today. So let's run over to the Big Sky. It was first round day. And well, David, before we even get to the games, let's start with what happened at halftime.
I'm too upset.
Halftime of the very first game. And let's kind of take a look back 2 years, because on the left side here, this is what we saw on the left at the halftime of the Big Sky games in 2019, and the floor sweepers.
Yes, this is on Pluto TV. It is the greatest halftime show in the history of sports. I don't even think that's debatable. The floor sweepers, they don't go to a studio. There's no band. It's just people sweeping the floor on TV without commentary, and it was amazing. People on Twitter loved it every year. Hashtag halftime floor. And this year,
this is what we got here on the right.
Yeah.
The logo clearly covering up the floor sweepers.
Yeah. It blocked the view, and it just ruined the whole tournament for it. Were there even games today? I don't even know. I was just wanting to watch the floor sweepers.
We are very upset about this. We're going to be reaching out to people.
We are going to get answers.
We are very upset. Big Sky.
Yes, very, very upset.
Big Sky, we're coming for you. That's all.
Yeah, we're coming for them. We're coming for Pluto. We're coming for everybody. We need to know what happened. As far as the games go.
Bodie Hume at 31 points for Northern Colorado. Nice win there over Sac State.
Yeah.
Northern Arizona rolls Portland State, and Montana, Idaho amazingly stayed close with Montana the whole way, but Montana found a way to hold on and win.
Yeah, Idaho in a year that saw very, very few good things, not a bad game for them today, although it was their last one. Looking forward to tomorrow, Chad. I know that this is probably an odd thing. I'm actually looking forward to seeing Southern Utah as a one seed. It seems preposterous that could have even happened a few years ago. I want to see them do well in this tournament, and I'm kind of anxious to see them win a game.
I'm interested in that, although I think it is a tough Northern Colorado team. They do have a star there and that could give a challenge. Idaho State, Montana State. Montana State was heading in the wrong direction late in the season. Idaho State, the right direction. I do think Idaho State's going to roll that game, actually, for a 4-5 game. I think Eastern Washington will take care of Northern Arizona. Yeah, the game I'm circling is the Weber State-Montana game. Old school Big Sky rivalry here.
Yeah, for years it was these two in the finals seemingly every year.
So I think that late game is going to be a fun one. That's the Big Sky. And David, despite the disappointment that we had here and what we saw in the Big Sky on their floor, we got to turn to the greatest thing I've seen all championship week in the Southwestern Athletic Conference.
Now this logo,
this is amazing. I'm sorry. This is the greatest logo I've ever seen.
It's taking up, what is that, about 80% of the court right there?
I've never seen a logo like they could just that almost hit the 3-point lines.
Yeah, so they want the viewers to make damn sure they know that they're watching the SWAC tournament. And I like how it says basketball in there, like it, just to clarify what game you were watching, in case you thought you were watching football or something.
It's not volleyball. It's not soccer. It is basketball.
And the logo is the size of a volleyball court.
I think it is, honestly. This was one of the most amazing logos. If you didn't catch it today, watch the games tomorrow. Yeah. Watch them all week. There were two games today. The top two seeds, Prairie View and Jackson State, took care of business against. Right.
Can we go back to the picture real quick, Chad? Can we do that? Yeah. Because what I was going to say is that this game was at Bartow Arena, and it says so on the floor, but you didn't know that because you're looking at the amazingly big logo in the middle of the floor.
I just realized it said Bartow Arena. I didn't see that until you said
that. No. Well, nobody did because of the logo.
Oh, we love the SWAC, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Tomorrow, not much to talk about with today's games. Exactly what happened. what we thought would happen did happen. Yeah. Tomorrow, the first game is actually the bottom one there, Texas Southern, Alcorn State. I expect Texas Southern to also dominate. I think Grambling and Southern, the 4-5 game, is going to be the best game of the quarterfinals by far.
Yeah, I'm, you know, the Bayou Classic quarterfinals on the logo.
We're going to have the Bayou Classic on the logo.
Yes.
I think that ESPN is going to take the ACC off of the main network and put this game on instead.
Game on the logo. Yeah. The logo is trending on Twitter. That's how amazing it was.
Let's just watch the logo here for the rest of the show while we talk about
the logo. It's the greatest. Toe Arena.
Oh. Conference USA. It was, I guess we'll call it the second round day here. UTSA and Charlotte were a close game. UTSA pulled away late.
Yeah.
Let's start with that. David, did they have any shot against Western Kentucky tomorrow?
I'm inclined to think not. But Western Kentucky has a tendency, they haven't done it much this year, although they have done it, to blow it. Like, to just completely what we used to call cluse. We might need to start calling this Sansburying now. They have a tendency to do that. And the runner's not a bad team. I don't want to say they don't have a chance, but it's a very small one. A lot of good games today, really.
I think WKU will get through that. Yeah, the other games were a couple of really good ones. Beginning with, we talked about how Rice, when they won the opening round game, had no shot against Marshall. Boy, were we wrong.
Yeah.
Marshall is a team that presses. Marshall is an up-tempo team. Marshall is a team I thought could hit triple digits today.
Yeah.
Rice controlled the tempo of this game. The game was only in the 20s getting towards halftime. They picked up a bit in the second half, but Rice, unbelievable defense, shut down Marshall and won the game.
Yeah, and it was like they were playing on sand or something. Like, I mean, they just completely sandbagged Marshall. Real shocking result, which sets up UAB, who needs the auto bid. I think they're going to walk through them, but I don't know. Like, not if Rice can control the tempo again.
Yeah, if Rice's defense and their tempo control is what it was today, UAB could be in trouble also. But I agree with you. I still haven't taken UAB there. Yeah. FAU UTEP, that was a good close game the whole way. Florida
it really was
out late. Yep.
Yeah, so good win for FAU there. North Texas, not too much trouble. I like this.
That game was close for a while with Middle Tennessee, but they pulled away late. The late two games tomorrow are going to be, what do we got there? Louisiana Tech against Florida Atlantic and Old Dominion against North Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You see either one of the lower seeded teams pulling an upset there?
No, I really don't.
Okay. Not even the North Texas.
North Texas. Okay. I think they got it in them to beat Old Dominion. It's late. I don't.
I do. Like
I'm North still Texas. Thinking about that logo.
Okay. Well, let's keep moving on now to the Southland Conference. Oh, no, let's go back to the logo.
Let's go back to the logo. It's just too good to ignore. It's better than the floor sweep. I like this more than what we saw at the Big Sky today.
You know what? Big Sky, you don't have to worry about. We don't care about you anymore. We only care about the SWAC. They better bring the SWAC next logo. Southland Conference. It was the second round here. A pair of real just blowouts here. New Orleans took care of Southeastern Louisiana fairly easily. Lamar, not much trouble with Houston Baptist either. Setting up, well, David, wait, there's something missing on this screen, though. Let's fix this here, first of all. Region, Northwestern State and New Orleans, and in the Texas region, Samuelson State and Lamar tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that. Like, you got to have the regions on there, but I'm still sticking with the chalk. I'm going Northwestern State and Sam Houston State to advance to the – and again, these are regional semifinal games here. Yes. So a big deal to, you know, advance to the championship.
I like New Orleans tomorrow, actually. I like them over Northwestern State. I think it's a very mild upset, honestly. Lamar, I think maybe it'll stick with Sam Houston State for maybe a half, but I think the Bearcats may be the best team in the conference, if not the second best.
Yeah, they are. They could be.
They've got to get by the best team, Abilene Christian, when we get to Friday's games.
Right.
The Texas regional final, I'm sorry.
Yeah, the Texas regional final.
That was it for games today, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But that's not it for games tomorrow. We've got a lot more to preview still here, so let's keep rolling. We are going back into action here in the Big West after it took today off. It is quarterfinal round day. I think UCSB and UC Irvine are both going to roll in their quarters. The other two games that interest me, though, David.
I agree. Like, well, UC Riverside, kind of, again, we've been talking about them all year, about how the school nearly shut down athletics, and then they had a really good season, nearly beat USC, can make a lot of noise. So it's, you know, I would like to see them get at least one more round into the tournament. The Eaters, you already kind of covered that, but Bakersfield Davis,
I think Bakersfield's going to take this game, but
Jim Les, a good coach at UC Davis. He's had some good years, but, you know, struggling.
I'll tell you what, though, David, the best thing that Bakersfield has going for them, should they lose that game, they can just walk across the street in Vegas to our next tournament, their old conference, the WAC. Why not? Let's play them in two tournaments.
Hey, very sparsely attended WAC this year with Cal Baptist not being eligible, but participating anyway. You know who I like in this tournament is New Mexico State.
Okay. I mean, they always win this tournament. Yeah. They are in the opening round. They play Rio Grande Valley. You know, the awful sad story there, Rio Grande and Coach Lou Hill and his passing, tragic pass away. I think that, unfortunately, this is the end of their season tomorrow.
Yeah.
I think California Baptist will take down Seattle, though. Setting up an interesting situation here, David, because should California Baptist win this tournament, Grand Canyon will get the automatic bid.
Right.
So whoever comes out of that top half, should California Baptist win tomorrow, will be playing for Grand Canyon.
Yeah. And so New Mexico State is interesting. They have some really, really good pieces. And had the season been a normal year, I think they would have been a really good team. But when you're getting moved out of the state and shut down and shut down and then moved again, and you go to Phoenix to get games, but there's nobody there, so you end up at an NAIA school. They just could not get onto the court. They're finally starting to get rolling a little bit. And how does the committee evaluate them if they do come out of here? Because Chad, I'm telling you, this team looks better than what they did at the start.
They don't have the record. They have bad losses. There are 15 seed, David, even if they win this thing. And it might be a punishment to a 2 seed, but they never came together. You know what? I'm not even picking them to win this thing. I'm going with the Lopes.
You're going with the Lopes? Okay.
And I'm going
That's not a bad pick either.
And I'm going with the Lopes over Utah Valley in the final. I think New Mexico State loses the semifinal to Utah Valley. Let's go to the American starts play tomorrow. The three powerful games are South Florida Temple, Tulsa Tulane, and UCF East Carolina. Is there anything worth watching in those games, David?
No, it's worth noting that all six of these teams need the auto bid.
Yes. How about who's going to win this conference tournament? You have Wichita State, the one seed. Obviously, Houston, the best team. Memphis and SMU still think they may have a bubble shot here.
I'm going with Memphis.
You're going with Memphis to win the tournament.
To win the tournament. They win in the Houston. They took them to the wire. They lost on a rather bizarre circumstance after, to be fair, tying the game on a rather bizarre circumstance. I like how they're playing right now. I think they're going to refocus. I think they can win this whole thing.
I think they're going to lose another heartbreaker at the buzzer to Houston, and Houston's going to win this whole thing.
Okay.
It is also first round / quarterfinal round day in the Mid-American. We got some action tomorrow. The day begins 11 a.m. with the Toledo Ball State game, Kent State, Ohio, Buffalo, Miami, Ohio, Akron, Bowling Green. And I'm going to say it right now, David, there are eight teams in this tournament, and I think all eight of them have a legitimate shot to win it.
You're right. Ohio, first of all, glad to see the Bobcats in there. They had a COVID scare. We weren't sure if they were going to get to participate. This is a team that took Illinois to overtime earlier in the year, was hot and cold. But if they get hot, they can win it. Toledo looked spectacular for a lot of the years. One of their losses was Ball State, and they have had some disappointing losses where they just didn't quite play up to their ceiling. They can win. I agree. Like, any of these teams could win it.
I don't think I could pick any of these four games tomorrow. And I don't know if I could pick a champion. If you told me I had to pick somebody, I'm going to go with Ohio because I really like them.
Yeah, but
coming out of the pause, I don't know if they're going to be ready for their first game or not even. So
that would be my exact evaluation. I don't even have anything to add to that. I'm picking Ohio, but it wouldn't shock me if they went down tomorrow.
So this is going to be a fun trip, though. I expect we're going to have, what, 7 games here total? I think we could have 7 really fun games.
Yeah.
One more conference starting tomorrow. It is the Mideastern Athletic Conference, and this makes 31. This will be all the conferences will be underway by the time we get to tomorrow here. It is, I guess, quarterfinal round day between Florida A&M, Morgan State in one game, Norfolk State and NC Central in the other. I think we are going to see both those North Division teams blow out the South Division teams, so Morgan and Norfolk, even though I guess FAMU is technically seated higher than Morgan.
Yeah.
I don't think it matters.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Now, interestingly, Coppin State is the top seed along with North Carolina A&T. I'm going to go Norfolk State to win this whole event, though.
I am, too. Like, I like how they've been playing.
Stop agreeing with me. It doesn't make a good show. You got to disagree.
Okay, I'm going – I'm going with FAMU to not win this whole thing.
Okay.
I like the way Norfolk's been playing.
I would not be shocked to see a Norfolk State-Morgan State championship game, even though both of them have to play the extra round tomorrow.
Okay, I would be very shocked to see a Norfolk State NCAA championship game. Like, that would be
Norfolk State NCAA is actually not possible because...
Well, that's why I said I would be shocked to see it. It's a very unusual circumstance.
Not going Coppin State with Juan Dixon there, huh?
Nope.
Okay. By the way, I see some typos on the screen there. We'll try to get those fixed. We didn't do very good this one.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to our survival board now. Due to some computer malfunctions, we don't have our total from yesterday heading into the day, but I believe we're at 189 or so teams left available that could win the NCAA tournament heading into the day today. As a result of today's action, though, David, we have 160 teams left.
Okay. Yeah. So, a busy day today, and even busier one tomorrow. We're entering what is perhaps the most fun day of all of championship week, the Thursday of championship week, one of the better days on the whole basketball calendar. The last Saturday of the regular season when championship week is also underway, the first day of the whole season, and Thursday, Friday of the NCAA tournament. But tomorrow, always a special day. We didn't get to have it last year, so it's going to hopefully be fun tomorrow.
Yeah, and as you can see, we've got teams. Every team that is still alive to win the national championship is listed on here, and they're listed in various different manners. We have teams like Mount St. Mary's and Loyola Chicago that are listed in bold and all caps. What's that mean?
Automatic bid. They won the automatic qualifier.
So the committee, who is already starting to meet, they've got their computers. They're logging onto the survival board. They see that. They know those teams are in.
Yeah, they do. And, there's that. There's the teams in bold that, while they're not automatic qualifiers, they're also locked in. I was a little disturbed today, Chad. We had 27 teams bolded. The committee, after their initial vote, only voted in 25. And that leads me to think, are they not looking at the survival board like they need?
Well, there may be a couple of committee members who might be on the hot seat now to be knocked out after this year if they don't follow the rules here. If they're in bold, they're in. Okay. Now,
and I just got to say this, like, there's 27 teams. They took 25. Would it shock you, because of that discretion, if two people were kicked off the committee after this year?
It would not shock me at all. We have teams that are in regular type. Those teams have to win an automatic bid. So when the committee is looking at it, and if they're wondering about whether or not Vanderbilt should get it, if after the win over Texas A&M today, is potentially at-large worthy, they look here. They're not.
Yeah.
They have teams that they could debate, though. Boise State, Colorado State, Ole Miss, you see on the screen right now. Those are teams that they are supposed to be discussing.
Yes.
Okay. So committee members, we're doing a favor for you here. If you, the few of you obviously messed up, we don't want to see you get knocked off the committee.
Right.
Thanks for you to come here.
Yeah.
Let's go to our feature.
It is the hot seat.
It is the Hoops HD hot seat. As you can see, every day here, we talk about coaches who are in danger of losing their job if they don't pick things up and get things going here and stay on that survival board.
Yeah,
we talked about Mick Cronin with his math problems yesterday. alleged math problems. We talked about Gene Auriemma, right? Jay Wright. Let's talk about the coach that's on the hot seat tonight, David. And this guy, I think, is definitely on the hot seat here.
Yeah, here we
go. I'll let you tell us why.
Okay. Well, here we go. Like, this is Alabama football coach Nick Saban. And one of the things that you can't ignore is that, you know, with Nate Oates there, they just don't need him anymore.
Really? I mean, you have Nate Oates having that team winning the SEC regular season championship, being the one seed in the SEC tournament. What the heck do you need Nick Saban for?
Right. And, you know, and you kind of hate to see this, Chad. Like, he's done a good job with the football program there. It's been kind of fun for the fans. But now that Nate Oates is there, now that the basketball team is ranked in the top 10 looking at a 2 or a 3 seed, they're just going to be like, well, why do we even need to worry about football anymore? I mean, at Alabama. And I could see Nick Saban just kind of being forgotten and let go. So they could provide more resources to Nate Oates.
Absolutely. So sorry, Nick Saban, you're on the hot seat.
Yes.
I guess on that note, we could pull us down here and run into some final thoughts. Dave, first of all, I want to mention a couple of things I want to mention, though. First of all, the real committee is meeting. Our Hoops HD mock committee is going to begin its meetings and its deliberations tomorrow. So when we do our notebook tomorrow night, we will be able to update you on how far we've gotten.
Right.
And the second thing, David, I just want to note is that it was this day, Wednesday of Championship Week, a year ago, that the world changed for all of us. We were scheduled to do all the games were played on that Wednesday. We did not do a video notebook because we knew what was coming. We could see it. It was, game NBA. I think that was the day that the NBA shut down during the course of that night. Mm-hmm. And there was a late game in the Pac-12. There were 4 games, so it went a little later than it did tonight. There was a late game in the Pac-12. Washington State won it, and we were watching that game and said, that might be the last game we see. There was one half of a game played the next day in the Big East, and that was it for men's basketball. We're going to make it to tomorrow. We're going to make it to the Thursday of Championship Week, and it feels really good to have that amount of normalcy, even though it's been such an abnormal season this year.
Yeah, it has been a really unusual season. It's been a hard season for the players and coaches. For the fans that like going to the games, they haven't been able to, or if you have, it hasn't been the in-arena experience. Some of the conference tournaments, they felt a little bit hollow at times, you know, with without the fans there and the atmosphere and the restrictions that they have to go through. But you're right, Chad. I think we're much closer to the end of this than we are the beginning. And it was the Wednesday of Championship Week. And it was just alarming at how fast it came along. I remember waking up that morning, well, being really tired because, you know, as we always are during Championship Week, but being super, super excited about the latter part of the season and the NCAA tournament. And then as, you know, the morning turned into the afternoon, the later afternoon, you started to hear more and more about the virus and you started to hear rumblings of tournaments being altered or canceled. And, you know, that night we had the incident with Rudy Colbert. We had, while Fred Hoiberg wasn't sick with COVID, it was still a really disturbing image to see him as ill as he was. And I just, for the first time ever, I think all of us were just like not even caring about what was happening on the court.
Yeah, I remember fairly early Thursday morning, I put a piece up that became stale very quickly, obviously, but on the website where I said, listen, we got to shut this down. There's no reason to keep going. Obviously everything did shut down within hours. And by Thursday afternoon, the NCAA tournament itself was off and our lives all changed and I still haven't gotten back to where they had been. Though, any other thoughts for the evening though, David?
No, that's it. Just looking forward to tomorrow.
All right. Well, on that note, on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night. Have a great evening and great day, everybody.